Good afternoon, Sasha Jerry. To be sharing God's word with you again, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the entrance of your word is indeed giving us light. We thank you because as we share, Jesus is glorified, we are edified. We see him and see us as he sees us in him. And Lord, I just pray that you give me a consciousness of grace, to speak with grace, to speak to the people, not at the people, and to make sure I'm blessing them from a pure space. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, I want to share today, we are continuing our series on being whole. And today I want to share on how to overcome imposter syndrome. How to overcome imposter syndrome. Now, why am I sharing this? Let's read Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. He says, but when he saw the multitude, that's Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. That weary means they were weak, they were tired and scattered. He says, then he said to his disciples, okay, they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. So once you don't have, quote unquote, a pastor, what you'll be experiencing in your life is weariness, tiredness, all right, and being scattered. There'll be no togetherness, even though it refers to a flock. He says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into, you know, the harvest. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 4. Jeremiah 23, verse 4, it says, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. So this is the job of a pastor, to make sure you're fed, to make sure you do not fear, to make sure you are not dismayed, discouraged, and to ensure that you are not lacking. Not lacking is not, it's not just lack, it's not just money. You can be lacking in information, you can be lacking in your health, you can be lacking in, you know, your disposition towards reality, you can be lacking in pertaining to your family. So it says God's answer, all right, is in twofold. Number one, the gift called the Holy Spirit, and the ministry gifts for the establishment of believers in Christ, okay? So that's why I'm sharing about this. That's exactly why. And then the Bible talks about it as well, which we're going to see. So what does imposter syndrome mean? Imposter syndrome is a persistent internal feeling of not being good enough. So it's a feeling, first of all. It's not a fact. It's a feeling of not being good enough, or as good as people think, or not being deserving of opportunities, blessings, etc. When evidence shows the opposite. When evidence shows the opposite. So what makes it imposter syndrome? Because there are some people that, quote unquote, they are not good enough. And I will explain what I mean. I don't mean maybe their life is rubbish, no. I mean, for example, if I'm not good enough to be a pilot, it's as simple as that. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not good enough to be a pilot. A 12-year-old is not good enough to be a father, even though he has the wiring to be a father. But at 12, he's not good enough. He has not experienced life. He cannot provide for a child. So he's not good enough. So I'm not saying, so this is not, if I think it, I am it. If I believe it, no. Imposter syndrome, look at the way I phrased the definition. That's why it's not a dictionary definition. It is a persistent internal feeling of not being good enough, or as good as people think, or not being deserving of opportunities, blessings, etc., even when evidence shows the opposite. So if I am a pilot, I'm a trained pilot, I can fly a plane, and they tell me, come and fly a plane, and I say, I cannot fly a plane. That is what is called imposter syndrome, where I can do something, but I'm second-guessing myself. I went to school, I am equipped for this thing, but I'm afraid at interviews. That's imposter syndrome. And I will show you how it looks. It is a feeling of being unqualified, rooted in self-dependence and not God-reliance. So anybody that is suffering from imposter syndrome is choosing not to see what God is saying, because I'm a pastor, so I have to talk. I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not talking about, I have to talk from God's word. Is choosing to see themselves not from how God sees them, but from how they perceive themselves. And that in itself is awful, because every evil person, and when I mean evil person, I mean people that have done wicked things to this world, they thought they were saviors. So you can perceive yourself wrong. Somebody can feel like they are kind for starting a war. Meanwhile, what they are doing is evil. So you cannot trust how you feel. That's basically what I'm saying. So I wrote here, it is a feeling of being unqualified, rooted in self-dependence and not on God-reliance. And look at this. And I know this is very strong to say, but I'll say it. It must be treated as a sin. Imposter syndrome must be treated as a sin, not a flaw. It must be treated as a sin. Why? I'll tell you why. It can be unbelief. It can be unbelief. And what is unbelief? Disagreeing with what God has said about you. When God declares you called, gifted, chosen, and you insist that that's not really you, you are siding against God's word. So what you're doing is unbelief. Now look at this text. Very scary. 1 John 5 verse 10. It says, he who does not believe God has made him a liar. So if God says, I am righteous, if God says, I am gifted, if God says, like it said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I've called you, I've ordained you to be a prophet, and you say, I am not a prophet, you are calling God a liar. And that is what it means to be in unbelief. So it is a sin to be manifesting imposter syndrome. First of all, you can do something. They ask you, you say you can't do it. It's called lying. Can you drive? Well, I don't know if I can drive. But you can drive. So you lied. You lied. And lying is a sin. You can go and check. The book of Revelation says all liars are going to the lake of fire. There is a place in hell for liars. And imposter syndrome always makes you lie against yourself. This imposter syndrome is what we see with the 12 spies in Numbers 13, verse 33. Numbers 13, 33 says, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Really, can a human being be a grasshopper? Can you imagine? And so we were in their sight. Now, I've shown this text before, but I want to show you again. Look at Numbers 14, verse 27. I want to read. God promised the children of Israel that he's taking them out of Egypt and he's taking them into the promised land. And look at that imposter syndrome came. That slave mindset. That thinking. Look at it. Numbers 14, they started murmuring and complaining. See what God said. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard their murmurings. I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. Mind what you say, O. Mind what you say, O. God said, as you have spoken in my ears, that is what I will do to you. If you say you are a weak person, that's what will happen in your life, O. If you say I can't do it, you will never do it, O. I was watching a clip by a man of God. He said, Jesus told his disciples, he said, our friend Lazarus is dead. Let's go and wake him up. He said, raising the dead was so second nature to Jesus that raising the dead was like waking somebody that was sleeping to Jesus. Then he said this powerful phrase. It was actually Pastor Patrick. He said this powerful phrase. He said, if you think you can't do it, you will not do it. You see, there is, I pray God will give us the gift of audacity. There are some people, they are not that smart, though. They are just audacious. In fact, the difference between them and smart people is that they had the boldness to start. They now hired smart, conservative people to help them carry out their risk. Audacity. Look at what God said. He said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years upward. So once you are 20, anything you say, God is listening to you. You can't run. Which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. He says, but your little ones, which you said shall be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So when God calls you something and you say otherwise, you are despising the gift of God. He says, so now let me paint a picture so you understand this. Imagine because for God to make this declaration is because of what Jesus has done. And God's biggest gift is Jesus. He spared not his only son. How will he not with him give us all things? Jesus is God's best. So just imagine, I saved for 4 years and I bought you a wristwatch. Now, I gave it to you. You didn't say thank you. You just said, oh my God, I'm really not deserving of this. Really? You're 4 years saving. I said, no, I'm giving it to you. So you said, thank you. Now, after 4 days, I noticed that you kept the wristwatch I gave you on the table. You were going for a very special meeting. You know, I noticed that you wore your torn wristwatch. You left my own. And then I ask you, why are you not wearing my wristwatch? The wristwatch I bought for you. You say, no, because of how much you bought it, I really don't want to use it anyhow. Guess what? You are dishonoring my gift. What will bring me satisfaction is seeing you wear what I bought for you, because I bought it so you can wear it. I didn't buy it for you to keep it. That's how it is when you reject what God says about your life. If God says you are able, then saying I'm not is rejecting God's sacrifice, rejecting God's gift that he has given to you. He's rejecting God's word. I hope you understand. So, this imposter syndrome looks like, I don't belong here and they will soon find me out. I'm telling you how the people that have it speak. If you are in a room full of smart people, gifted people, and suddenly you feel like you are the odd one out, you have imposter syndrome. And this is the beautiful thing. Smart people, if you are in their room, you were supposed to be there. They wouldn't have invited you if you were not supposed to be there. Another one, I'm not as good as people think I am. When you are praised publicly or complimented and you feel it's trouble because it increases expectations you can never meet up to or meet up with. Maybe somebody says, oh, you did a fantastic job. You say, please, please, please. It's not a fantastic job. And in your mind, what you're thinking is, don't let me make them think it's fantastic, oh, because next time now they'll be expecting that I will always be fantastic. You have imposter syndrome. You are doubting your ability. Or you say things to yourself like, I'm just pretending. This Christian thing is not for me. And they will soon find me out. You are making progress in your devotion. You've prayed 3 days and you're thinking to yourself, will I pray tomorrow? Will I pray next week? I think I'm faking it all. This thing cannot last forever. That is what is called imposter syndrome. Or, and I'm going to give you many instances. You feel people are always lying or saying what they want you, or saying what you want to hear when they compliment you, but are being real when they criticize you. When people praise you, you're like, they are deceiving me. But when they criticize you, you say, that's me. That's imposter syndrome. You take negative comments more seriously than positive comments. Or you say things like, I got lucky again. You find a way to always downplay your success. When you get a job, you say things like, they probably hired me because they need black people on their team, not because I'm qualified. Or you say things like, I shouldn't speak up. What do I know? You silence yourself even when you know you are right. During a meeting or a Bible study, you withhold insights because you feel that there are others more spiritual than you. Or you say things like, people like me don't get this kind of opportunities. You are always seeing your background as a barrier. I'm from a small town. I have no helper. Or people like me don't get on those kind of stages or platforms. That is what is called imposter syndrome. It is a very dangerous dimension of pride that disguises itself as humility. Now, let's get to it so we can close. How do we get out of imposter syndrome? How do we get out of imposter syndrome? Number one is what I've called proper speech. Number one is what I've called proper speech. Proverbs 21 verse 23. Proverbs 21 verse 23. It says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Keeps his soul from troubles. There is an effect of what you say on how you think. There is an effect of what you say on how you think. Joshua 1:8 says, let me open that. This book of the law, let me read it to us. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So how you get rid of that thing is you put the book of the law. Now, let me show you, because you have to understand the context. Look at Joshua 1 verse 1. Now, after Moses died, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. He says, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I will give to them, even to the children of Israel. Then told him, everywhere your feet shall stand. Look at what God now, verse 5, there shall not be any man able to stand against before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will also be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake you. Verse 6, it now says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto the fathers, their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous. So what God is trying to tell Joshua is, don't second guess yourself. Look at that. Joshua was with Moses. He saw Moses part the Red Sea. He saw Moses hit the rock and water came out. He saw strange things from Moses. You know, Moses went to the mountain, came down, and his face was shining like sun. Now you are now told to replace that person. Do you understand that kind of pressure? God says, look here, don't second guess yourself. Be strong and of good courage. Moses brought them out. You will take them in. And don't go and look for Moses' rod. Your own is your feet. Your walk is special. What I did with Moses was beautiful, but what I want to do with you is even more beautiful, because you are the one that takes them in. No matter how glorious what happened with Moses was, I designed you for this moment. Do you know the name Joshua means Yeshua? That when they named Joshua, God saw to it that Joshua was named Joshua to typify Yeshua, Savior. So God didn't randomly pick Joshua. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God designed and ordained Joshua to be kicked. And he was telling that guy that was born for this moment, don't miss this moment. Be strong and be very courageous. Now, look at what God told him, because God told him, be strong. You want to ask, how, Lord? Verse 8, he says, this is the way you do it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So you are going to be saying what I say, not how you feel. Fear doesn't make you try. Faith makes you try. And the negative thing about fear is this. You are still doing something, nothing. So when you see, because, you know, it takes work to avoid something. Because that thing will be coming to your mind. You have to shut your mind. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. So the way to observe to do is you have to be speaking it. It's called the law of deposit and withdrawal. I will keep saying what the Lord says about me to me. And that is the only way I'll be able to observe and do all that is written concerning me. So if I notice that I have a call of God upon my life and I've been saying God did not call me, I'll start saying to myself, I am called. God has called me. God has chosen me. God has equipped me for the work of the ministry. Now, thank you, Jesus. When an opportunity comes and they ask me, oh, Dolapo, can you please preach for us? Do you know what? Because of what you have been saying. If you want to say, I cannot do it, because you have been depositing it in your heart, you will say, okay, I've been saying it, so why not try? Let me tell you something very strange about me. It's even now that sometimes I second guess myself. And I understand when people have imposter syndrome, because life happens. Life can beat you down. For someone like me that has closed down two churches, I have an excuse to have imposter syndrome. That, hey, this thing that is happening, hey, do I know what I'm doing? Is it true? Am I really called? The weight of this ministry, can I really carry it? Am I equipped? Am I not too young? You think those things don't come to my mind? Those things come to my mind. And I was not like that before. Because I tell you the truth and I lie not. It was not up to 2 weeks that I gave my life to Christ. I was preaching. And when I mean preaching, and I didn't even know I was going to preach. And my first sermon was from Isaiah 49. I didn't even know I was going to preach. I just started reading the Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then I didn't even know I was writing devotionals. But I will read and I will write what I learned. So that day, what I read was Isaiah 49. And somebody said, oh, Dolapo, come and share. Just share with us. It was a vigil. Teenager's vigil. Just, Dolapo, please, just share with us, you know, and tell us what is in your heart. So I just brought out my devotional for that day and shared, oh, this is what I learned today. And people were so blessed that, oh my God, this one that just gave his life to Christ. How do you know the scripture? I said, I don't know. I've just been reading the word of God and all that. So even then I had confidence. If I tell you, so where our soul will be 8 in October. 8. And I started campus fellowship year one when I started fellowship, when I entered school. You know what it means for you to be year one? And teaching year four. It was life that took confidence from me. When you close the first church, hey, people are leaving your church. Hey, that thing was setting. So I'm not talking from high up there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I understand it. But what has been working for me personally is I've been putting the word of God on my mouth. So where also is alive and full of the Spirit. So where also is, these are things that God told me. So I keep telling myself. I keep telling myself. So when they bring me on a platform, I'm not trying to perform. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm confident that there was something they saw in me They were not trying to help me. There was something they saw in me that they feel will bless people that are coming for that day. And that is why they brought me. And that's how I think. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll give you an example. For example, you do, maybe you're a gospel musician, artist, and you do African praise. Now you were invited to sing somewhere in America. Don't sing American song. Because what made them invite you was what they saw you doing. But imposter syndrome will make people feel like, oh my God, this is a new audience. And then you change your style. And then you make a mess. Do you know how important it is as a music minister when you get somewhere, they give you a mic, don't just sing. You tell them, change the key. I sing on C. Because if you just carry mic and sing like that, you can make a mess of yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to, you know, that's why I said that's why I call it proper speech. You have to be talking to yourself. You have to talk yourself out of it. Why, Pastor Lakpo? Why am I talking myself out of it? Because the imposter syndrome many times also came from what people said to you. Maybe when you were a child, they told you can't do it. Do you know your report card can't speak to you? You are a failure. All your life you have gotten C. Now you started a job and people are complimenting you. You will say, no, I'm average. But what you are doing is excellent. You are now A. But all your life, that thing was talking to you. So you have to use words to deposit new things into your mind. It's so important. It's so important. It is so important. Okay? Ephesians 4 verse 29 tells us, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, so what you must say must build you up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Then look at verse 30. This changed my life. I said, what? He says, and do not grieve the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. When you talk rubbish about yourself, when you talk rubbish, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Do you know the meaning of that word grief? Is the word lupe in the Greek. The first time that word was used is in Genesis 6:6. He says, and it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It means to make the Holy Spirit sad. When God calls me blessed and I see I'm a failure, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, look at Psalm 52, verse 4. Oh my God, I think this text will bless you. Are you ready? Look at it. It says, you love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Somebody talking rubbish. There is a curse to it. Don't do it, my friends. Don't do it. So you want to write a confession that affirms who you are in Christ. I'm telling you what to do. If you are struggling with that thing, you want to write a confession that affirms who you are in Christ. Another thing is this. See it as warfare. You are bringing all thoughts to the obedience of Christ. See it as warfare. See it as you are fighting for your mind. You are bringing all thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, walk by faith, not how you think. Walk by faith, not how you think. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So walk by what you hear from the word of God, not how you think. Now, this is the beautiful thing. I was listening to Pastor IBK. He put a post on Instagram, blessed me. blessed me. He said the mirror is good, but the mirror, there is a frustration attached to looking at the mirror. He says it shows you the problem, but it doesn't fix it. Then he said, but the word of God is a perfect mirror, because the word of God doesn't just show you the problem, it shows you exactly how to fix it. In fact, the word of God tells you how to fix it. That's how you know there's a problem. So instead of Jesus to say, you are a sinner, he will say, go and sin no more. Then he tells you how you sin no more. If you walk with me, if you have the light of life and walk with me, you will no longer walk in darkness. So it is the solution, actually, that even points that there's a problem. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God means the word of God is telling me how to walk. And you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the word of God tells me how to walk. The word of God tells me how to talk. The word of God gives me a correct evaluation of myself. I am not just my skin color. I'm not my age. You know, the book of Job, Elihu was the one with the correct doctrine. He was the young man. And don't miss it. When God was here doing his ministry, in his earthly ministry, he was a young man, 33-year-old. If the biggest responsibility that could happen to any human being was to die for mankind, and it was a 33-year-old man that carried it out, you are not too young. Jesus at 12, he knew that he should be in his father's house. You are not too young. So we walk by faith and not, or okay, what we think or how we see ourselves. And look at this, James 2:18, we're going to read to 21. James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Then he says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And we've made the distinction that the works he's talking about here is not works of the law, it's works of faith, okay? Because by the example he gave was Abraham, and Abraham was never given the law. So what works is he talking about? Works of faith. Fear doesn't make one do, faith makes you do. Don't do what you are thinking, move by faith. Do what you've been saying in your confession. Do you understand this? Do what you've been saying in your confession. All right. Number three is, and we have four, so we're almost there. Number three is shift the focus from performance to purpose and obedience. Shift the focus from performance to purpose and obedience. Score yourself based on obedience and purpose, not performance. God is not asking for perfection, he's asking for cooperation. Let me tell you, and I've given this example. When we started the church, nobody was coming. I went to meet my mentor, Pastor Jide Okpale, and he told me something. He said, why not change your mind from people coming to serving God? Forget that people are not coming. When you put the speaker, remember that God is looking at you. And remember that God told you to do it. In other words, what he was telling me was, move from performance to obedience. That means the way I'll be scoring myself is on the premise of faithfulness, not acceptance. If you're a people pleaser, life will be unfair to you. Because the same people that clap for you today as you are entering into Jerusalem, they will say, crucify him tomorrow. My deliverance came when God told me, see, people in this world think God is egocentric. This was the thought coming to my mind. People think God is egocentric. People think he's an egomaniac. People think he's wicked. But souls are still being saved. Do you know how many people think God is selfish? Do you know how many atheists are in the world? Do you know how many people hate God that are in this world? Do you know how many Satanists are in this world? But guess what? Souls are still being saved. Everybody can like you. If everybody can't like God, how you, a human being? There is a way you will say it they will not like. There is a way you will do. Do you know that somebody said, I think it was, I was talking to somebody in church, and he was telling me when I was in his car while going out, he said, I have a colleague at work. He said he doesn't like you, PD. He said, I was so surprised that there can be somebody in this life that doesn't like you. He said, he doesn't like you. So he said, I asked him why. He said, because he believes that you are forming humble. That somebody cannot be humble like that now. He's faking it. Now, what do you want me to do to that person? I should now say, okay, I need to be proud. Somebody doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. And so, what will I do? Do you know, and I was telling somebody, I stopped reading comments. Why did I stop? You look at 130 comments. You look at 1,000 comments. And you see two that are negative. Is that one that will be in your heart? And you forget that there are 998 other comments that are appreciating what you shared. But you see those two, you feel like replying. You want to win their heart. Just let it go. Let it go. You see, you will not be delivered from imposter syndrome if you are not working based on obedience, but you are working on performance. Because sometimes we doubt ourselves because we compare with others. We compare, this person did it like this. Everything is not the same. Just do your own and make sure every day you are making progress. So God is not looking for perfection, he's looking for our cooperation. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Don't seek men's validation. Matthew 21:28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go walk in my vineyard. And he said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of the Father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom before you. In other words, it's not about your willingness. It's about doing it. You can say, I will go, I will go. If you did not go, you did not go. And you can say, I will not go. And if you eventually go, you are the one God is pleased with. So make sure that your life is not on performance. Your life is on obedience. I hope you are getting this. And don't put the responsibility of the obedience on yourself. All you have to do is yield and allow God will and work in you. I'll give you examples. The God that told Joshua, I want you to lead the people into the promised land. He didn't leave Joshua without leading Joshua. So Joshua was leading, but he was being led. So God will not tell you to do something and leave you to do it on your own. What comfort? All Joshua had to do was shout, not fight. All Gideon had to do was obey. He didn't fight. God will not send Moses to Pharaoh without a rod, a sign. God will never send us to do anything without his spirit. So we are never alone. I want you to say that I'm never alone. I'm never alone. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 10:18. He says, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Amen. And my last point is stop comparing yourself with others. Stop comparing. To some, he gave 5 talents. To some, he gave 2 talents. To another, he gave 1. Our capacities sometimes determine our drive. Do what God said to do and be fine with it. Do what God said to do and be fine with it. If you are Caleb, don't want to be Joshua. It's okay. It's okay. That's why I said you must make sure. I was watching a clip by Bishop Edipo. He said, if you notice other ministries are building hospitals, he says, and God did not tell you to build an hospital. He said, if you build the hospital, you might be the first person that will be admitted there. Because you are doing what you are not graced for. Just make sure you are not comparing yourself. Hey, this person did this. Because, let me give you another example. A guy came to me last year, Ignite Conference. And fairly so, it was after I preached about tongues. So he came to meet me, he said, the amount of scriptures I used, the way I explained it, he said, he doesn't know if he's called, he needs to go and sit down, that he doesn't think he needs to learn. While that is okay, while that is noble, I now asked him, I said, man of God, have you ever preached about tongues before? He said, yes. I said, how many times? So he told me. I said, I have been preaching about tongues at least 2x every year for the past 10 years. Don't you think it's high time I started reciting all those scriptures? After preaching a sermon for 20 years, I've made all my mistakes. I've made all the excesses. I've made the adjustments. So what you are hearing is refined. If you have not put in 10 years of preaching about tongues, don't compare yourself with someone that has. You just started your business, it's 2 years old. You are comparing that business with a business that is 49 years old. Is what you are doing, is it fair? Is that valuation fair? Basically, you are comparing a 49-year-old human being to a 2-year-old. Haba. Some people have been married 18 years, and you see how they are not fighting. This is your second year. Calm down now. Calm down now. You start doubting. Maybe I pick wrong. I think I made a mistake. Calm down. Stop comparing. Give yourself time. When you get, for the fact that you can even compare a 2-year-old business to a 49-year-old business means you are doing something right. It means you are doing something right. That you can even think of it that, it means you are doing something right. Just imagine with the intensity you are putting in when that business is 49. Some of us are not kind to ourselves. And I hope you will listen to the sermon on how to forgive yourself, because some of us are not kind to ourselves. So we don't compare. So I just wanted to give us these 4 points. And then, you know, I want us to practice. So the first one is proper speech. The second one is walking by faith, not how we think. The third one is shifting the focus from performance to purpose and obedience. And the fourth one is stop comparing, okay? Stop comparing. So I want you to declare after me. I am not an imposter. I am an ambassador for Christ. I don't strive for validation. I don't strive for validation. I stand in my calling. I stand in my calling. Say, I am graced, placed, and approved by God. I am graced, placed, and approved by God in Jesus' mighty name. And I just pray for you that the Lord will help you, the Lord will strengthen you, that you will mix this word you have received with faith, and it will bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. You are able to enter your office boldly. You are able to do your job boldly. You are able to open the Instagram page. You are able to post testimonials about how good your work, your delivery, your business has been. You are not second-guessing yourself. You are not saying, I'm not ready. You are taking giant steps, even in the face of uncertainty. And you are inspired to do the impossible. You are delivered from imposter syndrome as you practice all these things that we've shared in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Blessings. Amen.